This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. Party, 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 bring your dogs and cats. That's what we're doing today. In fact, sometimes you have a party or fireworks or somebody leaves the gate open or something, the wind knocks one down, something happens, and all of a sudden your pets are missing. And you start posting on Facebook and you start calling everybody and you put signs up in the neighborhood. And there's this feeling of dread that takes over your whole family as you hope your dog or cat isn't like harassed by coyotes or killed on a road. So what could you do? Well, if you're lucky, like I was when a gate blew over in a windstorm, you find out about a person like Karen Nixon with her dog Halo, Halo aptly named. So welcome to the show, Karen.
Hi, good morning, and thank you.
It's great having you. You're beautiful, white, looks like a white shepherd. What is your dog? What breed is your dog?
Halo is a white Swiss Shepherd.
Ah, okay. So for everybody out there, pointy ears, medium-sized build for a large dog, completely white like the snow, perky, perky eyes and alert and happy tail and super affectionate with me, even though I was instructed not to distract Halo. So Halo came to me when a terrible windstorm knocked over bunch of gates, and these two foster dogs got out, brother and sister golden retrievers, that were waiting for their forever homes, and they got out and I just didn't know where they were. So maybe you can tell everybody how that was for you, Karen.
I saw the post on Facebook. We were new to this. We had just started looking for pets. I think our first one was in September, but it wasn't really until December that we started doing it more often. And somebody had tagged me in the post about Sunny and Ruby and asked if I could go help. And I think that's when we got in touch with each other. It was quite cold. I remember it was dark at night.
Freezing.
Yeah.
Wet, freezing, miserable weather. Yes.
It was, wasn't it? It was absolutely miserable. And the concern was for the pups being out in the cold that long and close to the road. So I was pretty confident that we could find them or at least find the direction that they went in.
So I was not as confident. I was so skeptical because I thought, okay, you're talking about Camp Good Dog, where every inch of ground is scented by a lot of dogs, various dogs, multiple dogs at any given day. And these two particularly, every inch of the property they've been on. So how are you going to find their trail? I thought, oh, come on, right? Like, but I've seen dogs when you handle a stick and then you throw it into a pile of sticks and they pick out the one you handled. I've seen it. So I should have known better. But I thought, okay, I got to give this a try. Last ditch effort. I've tried everything else. And then you came over. It was already getting dark. I thought, oh my God, this lady is so lovely. She's really optimistic. I wonder if she ever succeeds, was what I was thinking. And we did get like misled for a while. Maybe you could talk about that. We spent a lot of time in the backfield for no reason, right?
We sure did. We did a lot of circles of where the dogs had been. I mean, we got that good track right off the gate, right to the food storage room. Halo made that quick left there and then we could see their paw prints. They'd gone up to take a sniff at that door. And then down towards the back field. And there's so much odor there because they had come back and forth and back and forth, you know, over so much time every day. Plus that night, they had been running around there on their little adventure to start. So we really got caught up in a lot of odor around there. Then down in the back field, I know you were a little skeptical there. I knew they wouldn't be in the field because it's fenced, but I was hoping we could catch up with some odor from the forest, from air scenting, and see if they would come running out. Yeah, we're not going to get a track out of there, but if they were somewhere in your neighbor's properties off in the forest, if we circle and get the right wind direction, Halo would be able to pick them up off in the forest. And if they heard us, they might have come trotting to the fence.
So all day long, we had been calling them and calling them and driving around and calling them and walking the fences with their best friends and all this kind of stuff. And we actually went, you know, these were intact dogs, and there was a female in heat at the kennel. So we were kind of taking her out to use her to lure him back. Nothing was working, right? And when you and I traipsed around, just to give our listeners an idea, I mean, it's torrential downpour in the rainforest, and it's still wintertime, and it's just freezing, and the wind is picking up. And this lovely woman, Karen, and her beautiful white dog are making me wander around over and over in circles in the pouring rain. And I'm thinking, this is not going to work. But then the dog really got intense, and it started to lead us out of the property, out toward the driveway, and then toward a certain direction. We weren't even halfway across my own property when my golden retriever started barking back. And they were on the other side of the road. And I'd been telling Karen the whole time, I don't think they'll cross the road because they're scared of cars. They'll stay on the property. And I don't think they'll go anywhere because they love it here. You know, they're foster dogs and they're really bonded to the place. And I just don't think they're going to go anywhere. Well, sure enough, they didn't go anywhere except the ditch across the street from my house, where they were trapped half in water in the freezing cold for hours and hours and hours. So much so that it turned to ice in their coats. And it's because they were afraid of cars that they couldn't cross back. And, well, yeah. We're going to go to break, and I'll tell you the rest of the story. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio with Karen Nixon and Halo the Rescuing Dog. Search and rescue guide dog already. Okay, I know you're just learning, but that was miraculous result because we'd been looking all day, calling all day, and they didn't answer us. They didn't do anything. They barked at Halo when Halo came near. But so they were in this ditch. I can figure out what happened. We have a neighbor dog, a very large, Ridgeback male, that comes over to the property and is very intimidating. And so they were probably running around, like you say, checking out the food storage, ran back to the front door when the gate blew over. And then he probably chased them. So they ran across the road in the middle of the night, probably when there was no traffic. And then they want to come home and the traffic is just not letting them. So I could see them, or he was probably also intimidating them from his house, which is next door. So they were probably too scared to deal with him and too scared to deal with the cars. So there they were stuck all day. So, okay, Karen, is this normal for you?
Yes. It is. And it is normal when they're frightened not to come out when they're being called by their owners or anybody else. So I remember having a conversation with you and everybody else, and it goes like this. Well, we've been calling them and calling them. They're not here. They're not around here. They'd come out. They'd absolutely come out. But the reality is when they're frightened, they don't. They often don't. Can't say never, but they hide silently. Because they're frightened. And it's often another dog that comes by that they break that silence factor, or they bark at, or they just come running to say hello. I think in the case with your dogs, they felt as Halo was closing in, they barked a warning. I remember that moment Halo wanted to cross the road, and I was shining my flashlight, and we could hear those dogs barking, and then I saw their eyes in the ditch, and there they were. So it's very normal.
It makes me sad just thinking about it. They're these reddish golden retrievers, and they're about 40 and 50 pounds, the two of them, brother and sister, and they're so sweet natured and so adorable. And thinking of them huddled together in the river, you know, this cold water. I just don't like that. But I brought them in, and I didn't make them have a bath or anything like that right away because they were so cold. I just covered them all up and then later gave them a bath, and I have pictures of them on the couch together. And they're weeks later, their forever homes came, and they're all adopted out, and everybody's good. And, you know, and that gate is well and truly fixed, but you don't ever know. It's good to have tattoos and ID and microchips and even GPSs on your animals. But if they do get away from you, then, okay, so how did you train Halo to do this? You might be listening and thinking, you know, what if my dog or cat does escape? Or my dog's really good at sniffing things and really obedient. How do I teach it like Halo so I can help my neighbors when I see a post on Facebook? Okay, how'd you do this?
I started her as a puppy. I'd always intended on doing this with her. And so there were some skill sets that I wanted her to have. Scent detection, which is using air scenting to find the source of odor. Tracking, which is a very precision nose down on the ground. We took classes for that. But when you're looking for a lost pet or a lost person, and by pet, it's mostly dogs. Cats are a completely different technique for the most part. They do what they call trailing. So that's a combination of tracking and air scenting to find their target, whether that's a person or a dog. And you start it quite easily. And really, honestly, anybody can train their dog to do this. You start with somebody running away with the dog watching. And so they drop something like a sock and they run. And that really incites the dog to want to chase them. And they just duck around a corner. And that's really the baby steps of trailing, is you're building that motivation for them to go find the person that's missing. And you build the motivation by the person running away. They've dropped the scent article. And eventually, they don't see the person run away anymore. They just get presented with the scent article. And this is such a fun game for them. And then you just eventually build more criteria. You age the track longer. You make them a little more complicated. You add distractions. You add cross tracks. You off you go. It's probably about 18 to 24 months to train a dog to do this quite well.
Wow. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking as you say this, way back, like a long, long time ago, I posted on YouTube on Deb Wolf Pet Expert, how to teach your dog to find your kids in a hide and go seek kind of game. But it turns out if your kid's ever lost, your dog will find your kid if you tell them. The only thing missing from the game is dropping an item that's scented. Everything else, they hide with invisible and they call the dog, and then they hide a little more in a more difficult way. And then they hide before the dog's there until the dog is truly tracking that particular child. And they start with one child and then they work till the next one. And so before long, the dog can find all the kids, you know, by name. So all they have to do to modify that, to make it more of a tracking exercise, is have the kid drop something that they've had in their pocket or that they were wearing, like a handkerchief or a sock or whatever. And, that's so good. Okay. So that's how you do that trailing. What about the tracking? Is that something else, another skill, or is that still the same?
The trailing is a combination of, so if a dog is tracking, they've got their nose down on the ground and they're following the exact path. But with trailing, they're allowed to cut corners, if you will. So if the wind direction is coming at them and tells them who they're looking for is immediately to their left, they're not going to follow that long track around to get to their target. They'll cut corners, if you will. And the tracking itself is a very precision thing we do. Most people do it for sport. It's nose down on the ground, following the precise trail. And your dog is looking for articles that have been dropped by the person that has laid that trail. So gloves, little tiny items, and the dog has to tell you when they found those items. And usually they're trained to lay down on that item. So that's a skill that we practice with our instructor, Maureen Fielding. And that's really good. First of all, it's good fun, but it's also really good precision work to help your dog learn how to follow the track, what to do when they run out of odor, how to read your dog when they run out of odor, how to circle them to find the outgoing leg. So it's a really good foundation that plays a part in the trailing.
Okay, it sounds like it takes a lot of work, but you were
Yes.
so, I mean, you warned me, you said, we don't do this professionally, we don't charge anything, we're just volunteers and we might be able to help. And yet, I mean, you so helped. So we're going to go to a break and come back and talk about more about this. It's just amazing to me that Halo was able to do this. And I want to know the difference between cats and dogs. Stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. So you mentioned it's different when you look for cats. When you look for my dogs, we took a stinky blanket that they'd been in, and we let your dog, Halo, sniff it a lot. And I think we even put it where the trail was leading away from the property once she was all excited. But how is it different for cats?
Cats are very difficult to track. They cross fences, walk on fences. They go through terrain that we really can't follow a track on. And when we're looking at cats, say the indoor only cat, we can often get a track straight from their door around the side of their house to the shed in the back. So sometimes we can follow a track, but most often we're doing what we call an area search. So we're looking for where the cat is hiding. Indoor only cats or outdoor access cats that aren't feeling well and hiding, or they're trapped in the neighbor's shed. We don't necessarily need to follow the exact route they took to get there. We just need to find where they're hiding. So Halo will do what we call an area search. Imagine the drug dogs that check vehicles. They know that there's something in that vehicle by circling it.
Okay.
So we do that with Halo. We will go into a yard and we'll basically walk a perimeter. And she'll be air scenting for the most part. If she picks up a track, she'll follow it. But for the most part, she is air scenting to find where Kitty is hidden. And so she's found them under decks, in stacks of tires, in sheds, in garages, in trees.
So when she finds them, do you go away and they entice the cat out, or do they lay a live trap? Like, what happens next?
Depends on the kitty. Mm-hmm. If we can reach the kitty, then the owners will just reach in and take them out. They can often lure them with some food. This, of course, is after I've taken Halo away and put her back in the van. Other times we do have to use a humane trap. So I'll leave the owner with the trap. I'll set it up for them, leave a camera so that they know when their cat is in the trap.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, most of them come out, but some of them are so deep in there and not ready to come out. We have to problem solve once we took the boards off a deck to get them out. Other times, yeah. Oh, that was Gumper. He was so deep under that deck that we just pulled the boards off. Well, the family did, and we're able to retrieve him that way.
So we have been talking to Karen and Halo about search and rescue for lost pets. And I'm going to ask her to come back and do another show because we've run out of time, everybody, but it's just too good. All right. So thank you so much, Karen Nixon. Thank you for coming to the show. I know we're going to post some pictures of Halo, of course, and you, and maybe some bio information and maybe some links to how people can train their own dogs this way. That would be great. All right, everybody, from me, Deb Wolf, and Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, and Karen Nixon, be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.